All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. July 29th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Side. I hope it's great wherever you are at. Start of a new week. Been slacking in the podcast game a bit. Just had so much going on and just not a lot upstairs between the ears going on. So I have, just taking a break, I guess. Been having a great summer. Wonderful. Been doing the pool and working. And I have not been paddling. That's probably a whole podcast. The craziness that goes up in my head. Everything is good until it's not. And then all of a sudden it's not good. And that's sort of what's going on with paddling. I love paddling, but this time of year we have so many people paddling that it's just real easy for me to get frustrated. And, maybe in the past I would have said something or had an outburst of some sort, but today I don't want that to happen. So I thought it would be appropriate for me just to take a little break. And I did sign up, though. This is a step forward, because last week I'm like, I'm never paddling again. It's done. And the problem is I do love it. And, but like everything I freaking do and everything that I love, I always do it to the extreme and then I burn out. And I think that's sort of what has happened to me with paddling. And, so I took a break, but I did sign up. I'm going to paddle on Wednesday. Hopefully that'll be fun. I just had to kind of chill, right? Just chill out. I dipped my toe in the water and then I went head first and I was in there and, yeah, super grateful. Love it. I've been actually doing a little bit more running. I'm not sure if I've ever talked about, I know I've had to have talked about running, but there was a time in my life I was a big fan of running and running with the doctor. And, you know, where our old house was down by this awesome trail, the Breakwater Junction Trail. And it was just like paradise. And now that we've moved, it's been, so July 22nd, which is 2 years that we moved. And I remember, coming to this new house and trying to figure out a running schedule and just couldn't quite get into it. But I was sort of at the end of running. And, in the last couple of years, I've done some paddling and some different things. And so for the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to get back to doing a little bit of running. My son was in town and him and I ran together. And that was fun. The problem is it's always hard to do stuff like that when I am, sort of out of shape for it, right? I can paddle 2.5 hours, but let me try to run to the corner and I'm dying. So it's always just, finding those old muscles again. And, I've shared that I was doing a lot of walking and the walking's been good, but then I, started to add a little bit of running. And a little bit less walking, a little more running. And yesterday I ran. I did more running than walking, which was good, but not a huge distance. I think just keeping it within a couple miles. But it felt good. It felt really good. And but now I'm ready to get back to doing some paddling. So went to a meeting last night, my favorite meeting, the Promises meeting. Blah. And I don't know what it is about that meeting, man, but I just am one uncomfortable person there, and that's weird because I've been doing a lot of meetings in my life, and for some reason, I just feel completely out of the loop. I don't have a click there. I just basically get there, and I sit there with my arms crossed, and it's pretty pathetic, and I don't know why it is because it's a great meeting, a bunch of great people, but just for some reason, that environment, I just feel completely out of sorts. And what that says to me is you probably need to go. And I had made this the statement in my head a while back, I will not be going to that meeting anymore, which is never good. It's not like I didn't replace it with another meeting or hadn't. I think that meeting that I was, that Sunday night meeting is probably the fourth meeting in the week. So I didn't feel like dropping it was that big of a deal, but I don't know. I want to be at a place in my life where, everything's cool, right? I don't have a bunch of issues and I don't have moments where I'm like, fuck that meeting, I'm not going back. And so I went and it was, same shit, still felt out of place, not part of. It's like being a freaking teenager again. But it was a great meeting. The girl that shared was celebrating, I forget how much time, which is always awesome. Great example. But, you know, the topic ended up being about God. And, you know, I love talking about God.
Get ready for the real world. Yeah, yeah, gotta grow up. No, I like to die for a while, every day in the afternoon. Like to let the arms up above wrap around me tight. Just gonna sprawl in the front booth, big drink above my head, cross-eyed and smiling as I watch the world with what's in behind.
Everclear, The Twist Inside. That is a, I don't know, that album's from 1995, Sparkle and Fade. Whew, man, that album reminds me of my life in San Diego. And not always a good time, but man, takes me down memory lane for some reason. But yeah, that is Everclear, great band. I wouldn't recommend drinking Everclear, but the band is awesome. I think they're still around. But yeah, so the meeting was about God, which is always interesting. You know, and I'm just going to try to see if I can put my thoughts together. Part of my issues with doing the podcast lately is I feel like I'm just rambling a bit and I'm being a little too, I'm critiquing myself too much and I'm feeling like it's terrible and I stopped recording and I haven't put anything out. So I'm just going to try to work through it here. I do think it's an important topic. You know, when I came into the program, when I came into life, right, my first memories of God or Jesus Christ, right, or heaven, right, were always based on if I didn't do the right thing, I was going to hell, right? So it was really a lot of fear and didn't have any clue of that, right? Didn't understand any of that. One of the things, I've shared this many times, that I have found at the end of working these steps and going to all the meetings and doing all the time and having all the conversations and then having the ups and the downs of recovery is in the end, right, the removal of fear. Well, one is how much fear has played in my life from day one till today. And number two, trying to figure out through the use of these steps and these programs is how to remove it and what it both means, right? And, you know, I've come to the conclusion that everything that is selfish is based in fear, right? Because self, only person afraid is self, right? And so, like everything in my life, I've done it half-ass. And that is goes the same with having a relationship with God, right? Because self wanted the relationship. Self wants something from God. God is just like any other person or figure that comes I come across in my journey. If I meet you, I probably wanted something from you, right? And it's the same thing with God. And I just never panned out, right? I could never get anything from God. And, you know, turns out that's, for me at least, that's not really what God's supposed to be. You know, it's not, I can't have relationships based in fear. They are just not, they're not honest, right? Because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of losing something, whether it's the person or something that I have, you know, going to hell, right? That was always the main basis of a relationship with God, is that, yeah, I want to have one, but I also know that if I don't do things correctly in this relationship, I'm going to go to hell, according to people, right? The Bible or whatever. And it may not even say that. That may have been just a version that I've decided to go with. I have heard hell. I've heard you do bad things, and that's where you go. And that's pretty much all I've ever been able to focus on. So, you know, when I came into this program, I hadn't changed any of that, right? I hadn't changed any of that. It was just the way I thought about having a relationship with God. And so my solution was just forget it, right? I'm going to go to hell because everything I seem to do is bad. And, everything I seem to do is bad, so I'm headed for hell. And I just had sort of, you know, and then I'm like, well, maybe I am in hell. Maybe this is hell right now. Maybe, you know, trying to change it, because I just can't imagine spending an eternity in a, you know, burning hell. So anyway, I just sort of put it on the back burner. You know, God is sprinkled in this program, you know, in several places. And, you know, a lot of people like myself say, well, I'm not going to do, I'll do this and I'll do this. But when it comes to God, I've pretty much determined what that is. And I'm not going to, you know, really work on it. And so fast forward, you know, working these steps, and I've said this before, it's probably been probably three years ago that I started to have this real revelation about some of the things that, about me, for sure, and how these steps expose it, right? And fear is one of them, and it's the main one, and, you know, and it says in the book, fear got us, made us like this, which never really made any sense, but now I do understand. I absolutely understand. And so I guess what I had to do was basically forget any idea of what I thought was a relationship with God. You know, I remember hearing the term pink cloud, and I've shared this before, driving home from my first meeting, just being on this pink cloud, because one, for the main reason was I just wasn't drinking and driving. And I, you know, that was such a problem for me. That just the fact that I wasn't doing it, I was doing something that I hadn't been able to do for a long time. I mean, even back in California, right? I was drinking and driving in California big time and in Delaware. So, you know, the fact that I was driving home and I wasn't drunk was just, to me, an absolute miracle. And I felt it. I felt this place of peace, right? And it felt good. And of course, you know, unfortunately, when a person like myself is new like that, you know, these little things are important, but life comes back, right? Self comes back, and, you know, that's why it's important to have a sponsor and to work these steps. But I, you know, I worked the steps immediately and didn't find the solutions, right? I checked off the boxes because my first initial attempt at the steps was based in fear. And just like everything I've ever done, when it's based in fear, I do as much as I need to make sure that whoever I'm afraid of, right? You know, I'm at that point, I'm probably trying to impress my sponsor. So I'm, you know, I want to do everything I have to keep him from going, you know, you're not doing what you're supposed to do, right? So it's all fear. And it's just crazy. And when, what I've learned, at least for me, is I can't have a relationship with God if I'm afraid. It's too much self. It is too much self. And what I've learned today, at least for me, is God, for me, right? Everybody has their own thing. But God, for me, stopped being this man in the clouds, right? This, the Jesus. I don't even know, you know, I've watched things lately about, you know, these different people, the Anunnaki, right? But, you know, it was Yahweh. It was all these different names through different times in our planet that these civilizations have had a relationship with this higher being, right? God, Yahweh, there's different versions of it. I had to sort of put all of that on the shelf and just start to recognize this place of peace when I'm able to work these steps from a humble place and not from a selfish place. And first time I did the steps, definitely from a selfish place, and I got what I got, and eventually I would drink again. And then I came back and did the steps again, and I think I did it from a selfish place, a little bit better, right? You know, the fifth step, I think, was the litmus test for how really committed, because that is the ultimate fear, right, is to share our deepest, darkest secrets with somebody, another human, which is horrible, right, embarrassing, shameful, all that stuff. But we do it, right? And we find out on the other side there's some relief, right? And we don't burst into flames, and it's not a one-way ticket to hell. It's relief, right? Because I was listening to somebody, and he was saying, somebody in your life should know all of your darkest secrets, period, right? Because, you know, that is pushing past that voice that says, don't tell, right? And so doing all that, you know, I learned a little more, and I found a little more freedom. But then, you know, when I start, because even doing this podcast, maybe it's from doing this podcast and talking about these steps so many times, I started to realize how much fear has just been in my life and how much my behavior keeps me there. My sickness keeps me there, right? It has nothing, you know, I sort of have two diseases. I have a disease, one that if I drink, I can't stop. And then I have another disease of self, right? They go together. They're not good for each other. I solved the drinking problem, you know, 16 years ago, right? I haven't had a drink. I actually haven't had a drink in 18 years. But the selfish part of me, you know, lives on. And, you know, when I started getting into the steps, you know, and then you do them enough times and talk about it enough times, you start realizing, you know, I get to free myself up from a lot of this fear, this self-centered fear through the moral inventory. You know, a lot of behaviors in my life I would do and didn't understand. It was just like on cruise control. This happens. Oh, this is how I respond. This happens. Oh, this is how I respond. I do this. This is how I respond. And it just had become, this lifestyle had sort of just become a habit, right? And so when I started, like, you look at the moral inventory, you know, even at the third step, you know, it's worded in a way that has God in there. You know, we turned our will and our lives over the care of a God of our understanding. With the word God in there, immediately, I'm like, ugh, right? I'm just kind of out, I'm on the outskirts because I just don't want to be let down. Self doesn't want to be disappointed one more time with this attempt at a relationship with God, right? But then I learned, you know, if in the third step where it talks about we turn our will, right, our thinking and our lives, our action over to the care of a higher power, over time I realized, you know, if I make a better choice, if I make bad choices, usually what follows is fear, worry, anxiety, right? Am I going to get caught? I shouldn't have done that. I know better. How many times do I have to do this and get the same result, right? It's a whole lifestyle. But when I started making better choices, right, go to a meeting, right? Don't drink and go to a meeting. Those are the two first good choices I started making. Don't drink, go to a meeting, call my sponsor, make an AA contact, take on a commitment, right? Make coffee. These are all choices that wasn't part of my agenda prior to this. So, but these, you know, what I've learned today is these are all the beginnings of a relationship with a higher power. These are all the beginnings of a relationship with the good people, the good folks, good orderly direction, God, right? Good orderly direction. And what comes with that? Peace, right? You know, if I remember early on, I would get up, I wouldn't drink, I'd go to work, and after work, I would reach out to my sponsor, I would go to a meeting, I would have coffee maybe afterwards or something, and I would go home, and I would have a peaceful heart, right? I would be free of fear, right? At least all the anxiety that came along with the opposite of what I used to do, with the opposite. So what I used to do, you know, with the drinking and stuff. So those were the beginnings, right? But they would bring peace. And over time, you feel a little more peace, right? But self is still in there. And then we get into the fifth step, and we sit down with the person. And then when we get into the sixth and seventh step, those are the things that keep me sick. You know, it's our shortcomings and our character defects. You work on them honestly, and you get rid of them to the best of your ability, right? And then you get into the eighth and ninth step, where we make the list of people that we had harmed, and we make amends. You know, after those 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, if I've done them correctly, I'm pretty free. I'm pretty free. And now I'm starting to experience something new, which is just peace. Peace and freedom and free of fear. And I started getting a glimpse of it, not really sure, not understanding, right? And definitely not calling it God, right? I'm just calling it, you know, doing what I'm supposed to do, good behavior. Well, you know, and then we start doing the 10th step, right? And then when we continue to take personal inventory and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it, like I shared the other day, you know, I would, early on, I'd be like, you know, and I'll just continue, you know, and even like the lady last night celebrating, you know, and all into God and thank you, God, and all the wonderful things. But she started her whole thing off with sarcasm, right? Sarcasm to me is a shortcoming, and those are the kind of things that keep us sick, right? It's not necessary. We don't have to tear down somebody else to feel better for a laugh, right? And maybe we're so used to the effect and the feeling afterward that we don't pay much mind to it. But when we start to work these steps and we start cleaning this shit up, like if I'm sarcastic to somebody today, I feel bad about it. It, you know, I'm thinking about it. You know, you did that to make yourself feel better at the expense of another person. You probably need to make an amends, right? You need to apologize. I shouldn't have been sarcastic to you. This person was sarcastic several times in the person's share, but all the time talking about how wonderful God is. And I'm like, I'm not sure some people even have, I am just starting to understand for me, right? And I don't want to be judgmental. To each his own. I love it. You know, celebrating an anniversary is always great. The problem is that I want to try to share, but I can't explain it. Right? This cannot be explained in a meeting. But when I finally started to be honest about especially the 6th and 7th step and my character defects, it all started to make sense, right? I started to find this place of peace and freedom and a place free of fear. And to me, that now is God. It's God without words, right? Because, and the idea, the selfish idea that God would speak to me in English, right, doesn't even make sense either now that I think about it. The way for me, how God speaks to me is through my spirit, my feelings, my heart, my conscience, right? I do something. And, you know, if it's a good thing, right, I'll have this influx of good feelings that I also have to pay attention to, right? Because I have to stay even keel, right? I have to stay centered. Hey, man, you know, you do something good and all of a sudden these feelings come in. You're really doing good, man. You're doing good. Yeah, it's a lot of work to be normal, right? I have to pay attention to that. It can be a little bit ego boosting, right? Or if you do something bad, sarcasm, lying, whatever it is we do, we feel it, right? And the fear rushes in. I hope I don't get caught. I hope someone doesn't call me out. I hope this person isn't going to be mad at me that I, you know, I made a joke at their expense. It's crazy. It is crazy. And so today, God for me is nothing like what I had imagined or what I had heard of, right? God is not the man in the clouds, right? God is just my conscience. And when I am doing what I'm supposed to do, which I feel for the most part I do, right? I feel like my character defects I work on and my shortcomings I pay attention to. But like, you know, the 10th step where it says, you know, continue to take personal inventory. To me, that is continue to take a spiritual inventory. And when I'm wrong, I promptly admit it. But it's not like, oh, I'm wrong, sorry about that, and then go do it again. It's like, I'm wrong, sorry about that, and try to understand why I did it in the first place, right? There's that sarcasm, Tom. You know, that's old behavior, you know, making fun of other people so that I can make myself look better. It's sick, right? It's not God. I am not holding the hand of God when that is taking place. And so today, you know, I live in this bubble, right? This bubble of peace, love, and free of fear. And it's the shortcomings and the character defects that kick me out of it, right? It's when I become frustrated with traffic, you know, I'm at peace. When I'm at peace, everything's good. Letting people in, it's all good, right? But when I am not holding the hand of God, when I'm inconvenienced, when the shortcomings, the character defects start to show up again, you know, I let go of the hand of God, and then I'm living in a world of self, right? And when self is running rampant, God is nowhere near, right? It's a mess. And you know, so in the end, you know, I've realized that God doesn't do anything for me, right? I have to be on, you know, and I've said this before. It turns out the whole purpose of this program is just to be a better person. Now, the better you are, the less fear you live in, right? The better you are, the more of a relationship with God you have. But it isn't a God that gives you shit, right? Dear God, I want this. You know, it's, dear God, thank you. Thank you, thank you. You know, I was told early on, don't ask God for anything, period. Don't, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough, I'm turning this over to you. That's my prayer, right? Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough, I'm turning this over to you. That means my self, I can't do it. Self is too much, and I'm just recognizing it, and I'm letting go. And it's a pretty awesome place, right? It's a pretty awesome place, but it's hard to describe and share. And, you know, but it's really just the removal of self. To me, God and a relationship with the higher power are a product of doing the next right thing, doing what you're supposed to be doing, right? Being kind, you know, being helpful, being humble. You know, all these acts on the outside, the byproduct of all that, what comes dripping out is God, right? It's God. And when a person gets to that place, you know, it's torture, right? Because you want to share, and the reality is, and that's the other thing I've been going through. You know, I've come to this place in my program where I just want to share. I've been to the mountain, everybody. And that is the burden, because I can't, right? I cannot tell people there's no fast track, right? This took years to get to this place, and I'm not even sure I'll stay here, right? I could be drinking tomorrow. Who the fuck knows anymore? But the fact is that I know what it is. I know what keeps me there, and I know what takes me out. And it's all self. And it's a big deal. I'm grateful. I think we're probably going to go long. Oopsie daisy. Come back from doing a podcast, and then all of a sudden go, oh, no, we're all right. So, you know, I guess my message today is work on, be honest, right? I had to be very honest. When we start getting into that moral inventory, right, really, you know, dive into it. Do that fifth step, those character defects. And anybody out there that's listening, sarcasm is a character, is a shortcoming. It's a character defect. When people are sarcastic, you're making a joke to somebody else's expense to make yourself feel better. That is not God. That is the opposite. And so, but it's all those things, right? Sarcasm, making our bed, putting the cart back, you know, filling the ice trays, throwing your trash away, keeping your closet clean, making your bed. It's all of these things that are the next right thing. And once we start doing all that, then we don't have fear about it. And when we can do that, man, it's a pretty peaceful place. For me, I've chosen to call that God. Some people may call it something else, but the man in the clouds is just too wishy-washy for me. I have to have something that I can feel and understand, and I do, you know, working these steps, I do feel it at the end. So let's do the daily reflection. If this is about God, I'm going to be, I'm going to laugh. All right. July 29th, anonymous gifts of kindness. All right. As active alcoholics, we were always looking for a handout in one way or another. Yeah, that's, as an active human, I was always looking for a handout, especially from God, right? Dear God, I need this. Dear God. Sorry. Let me read that. As active alcoholics, we were always looking for a handout in one way or another. The 12 Traditions, illustrated page 14. The challenge of the seventh tradition is a personal challenge, reminding me to share and give of myself. Before sobriety, the only thing I ever supported was my habit of drinking. Now my efforts are a smile, a kind word, and kindness. I saw that I had to start carrying my own weight and to allow my new friends to walk with me, because through the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions, I've never had it so good. Yeah, that's true, right? You know, if I was just going to say anything, I would just say put the God thing on the shelf, right? Don't even worry about God. Follow the steps, work with the sponsor, clean up our lives, right? Do a good, you know, if you're new to the program, just start making better choices, right? These are humble decisions, and they are building a relationship with God, because when we make a good choice, we don't live in fear afterwards, right? And so, and then in the fourth to fifth step, you know, make that moral inventory, really dive in, figure out what's behind it. What's the root cause, right? Share it with another person. And then in the sixth and the seventh, get those character defects, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, all that bullshit that we do. And then all the fringy stuff, right? The sarcasm, the white lies, stealing free sugar, all that shit, you know, putting the shopping cart back. And then when we get in the eighth and ninth step, you know, clean that stuff up. Because on the end, right, and then when we get to the tenth step, taking that personal inventory, you know, when we make a mistake, you know, yeah, clean it up, but also recognize the mistake and try not to make it again. And then, of course, the 11th and 12th steps are very important. But, you know, put the God stuff. If we do that stuff, you know, early on, the best that we can, we start to feel this relationship with God. And it isn't a conversation with a man. It's a place free of fear, and which is crazy because that's not why I came here, right? Not to be free of fear. I had no clue. Hey, thanks for letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day, and I'll catch you later. Bye.